Good morning. Good to have you all here, and we miss the ones that are gone today. We've got some people on vacation, and we've got some others that are just not feeling well. If you have a Bible, I'd like you to join us in 1 Kings. Our text is in chapter 14, but we've got the first 2 points. We're going to be earlier in Kings. It's about guarding bronze shields. Kind of a sad story in Israel's history, but it teaches us the importance of being genuine. And so we're going to take a look at this story. We're going to start in chapter 2. God had made a promise to bless the godly descendants of David. If you go back to chapter 2 here, he says, he tells David, he said, the Lord, so that the Lord may keep his promise to me, if your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. David had asked God if he could make a house for God. And God turned around and said, no. You're a man of war. I want your son to build a house for me, but I am going to build a house for you. Not a physical house, a house of your lineage. And you will always have a son that sits on the throne. And he eventually talks about Jesus, who is the son of David, that saved us all. And so he says, I'm going to have that relationship with you if your sons will stay faithful. But Solomon, we know, was led astray by his 700 wives and 300 concubines, and he was led astray, and then Rehoboam, his son, really messed up, and they weren't faithful to God. So what would have happened if David's descendants had chosen to follow God? What if all their lives they had just stayed true to God? Can you imagine? No divided kingdom. No idolatry, no golden calves. I mean, no Babylonian captivity. Right up to the time of Jesus, and Jesus is born of just an amazing nation that was... But they chose not to do that. God knew they weren't going to choose to... God knew they were going to mess up. But God didn't make them mess up. They chose to mess up. God knows we're going to mess up. But if we do, it's because we chose to mess up, right? We sin willfully, don't we? And so they chose not to follow God. Things would have been so much different. If they had followed God just a little bit more, things would have been a little bit better. If they had followed God a whole lot more, things would have been a whole lot better. Is that true in our lives? Yeah, it is. Now, what happens to us when we decide to follow God? When I decide to follow God, things get better. Things get better in my family. Things get better in my relationships. Things get better in my heart with God. He says, just serve God, because when you're serving God, you feel better about you. When you're close to God, everything's right because you're living the way you ought to be living. And so choose to follow God. Solomon, and by the way, we need some good Christian artists, because I looked all over the internet, could not find any kind of pictorial likeness of the Hall of Lebanon. Okay? The Hall of Lebanon, Solomon built this amazing palace. It took him twice as long to build his palace as it did to build the temple. And the temple's amazing. Okay? But all along the top row of this Halls of Lebanon, he had these gold shields set up there that he had made. 500 gold shields. He had 200 large shields made with 7.5 pounds of gold on each one of them. Probably overlaying wood, but the thought is there's 500 shields. Okay? The spot price on gold is like $1,268 an ounce yesterday. Okay? So $1,268 for 1 ounce. He's got 7.5 pounds of gold. And he's got 200 large shields and then 300 small shields. Total of about $40 million worth of gold. okay, in these shields. And he's got them lining this amazing hall of the cedars of Lebanon. So all these, this beautiful cedar wood, and it's this amazing hall. And nobody had it, so I had to go to Legoland. And Lego has a picture of it. So those are the Lego shields in the halls of Lebanon. But that's the only thing I could find. Sorry about that. Okay, now, who has 500 shields made out of $40 million worth of gold? Nobody. I mean, Bill Gates doesn't. Nobody has, what, you don't, nobody has that kind of money. But he was blessed that much by God that he was able to do that. And he did that in honor to God. And he was bringing it out to the people. And whenever they'd have a festival, they would stand there with their shields of gold. Kind of an ornate honor guard. All right, now, God, has God given you blessings? What do you do with your blessings? Okay, do you use your blessings to help us? And by the way, you guys, you know, last year we gave away well over 2,000 popsicles. This year we got rained on and rained on and rained on. We only gave about probably 1,600, 1,700 popsicles. But we had 2,500 popsicles. So we have a whole bunch of popsicles back there, by the way. Thank you for giving those. And if you want, and there's bags back there if you want to take some home for your families, kids, grandkids. Take some popsicles home. We've got plenty of popsicles. Bless some more people. We blessed people at the fair with popsicles. They said, you guys are the only people that come out here and give stuff away that you can eat. I mean, you guys come out and you help cool, you refresh people. You're so kind. They were just so impressed with the kindness we showed. They said, you guys are here every year. And for like 8 years, we've been there. I think that's awesome. They moved us this year on the other side, but it's shadier and it's really nicer. we don't like that, you know, 4 inches of water running through there. But other than that, maybe if the weather's better. Anyway, but the thought is, when you have blessings, you share them with others. It's more blessed to give than receive. Now, Rehoboam had chosen to live an ungodly life. Now we're in our text of 1 Kings 14. We're going to start in verses 22 to 24. It says, Judah, that's the nation, the southern nation. If you remember, Rehoboam had been self-centered and didn't listen to the older, wiser counsel and split up the kingdom. And so the southern part of Judah says, Judah did evil in the eyes of the Lord. By the sins they committed, they stirred up God's jealous anger more than their fathers had done. They also set up for themselves high places, sacred stones, Asherah poles on every high hill, under every spreading tree. There they made even male shrine prostitutes land. People engaged in all detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. I mean, they were as wicked as the people out there. Is that the way we're supposed to be? You know, if we sin like they sin, if we get drunk like they get drunk, if we hurt people like they hurt people, if we gossip like they gossip, whatever it is, are we supposed to live like the world? Are we supposed to be a light to the world? Are we supposed to be a peculiar people? They were living like everybody else, and because they live like everybody else, they're going to get judged like everybody else. Okay? What kind of idolatry are you? So, well, Jack, I don't practice idolatry. What's it say in Colossians 3, verse 5? It says, among other sins, it says covetousness, which is idolatry. NIV says greed, which is idolatry. If I'm greedy, if I'm covetous, I have an idol, don't I? So we look down on their idolatry and say, well, we've advanced past that. Yeah, we just chose different idols. Some of us have American idols. Sorry. Sometimes we have our idolatry, our devotion. What are you devoted to? That's your idol. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If I got something else in first place, I got an idol. You know how you can tell first place? By love. Love is a four-letter word. It's spelled T-I-M-E. Where do you devote your time? Where do you devote your attention? Okay? If it's in something other than God, you got an idol. And so they had idolatry. Now, what happens to the plan that God has for you when you choose to sin? In Romans 2, it gives, the clearest definition of sin in Scripture. It says, they suppressed the truth in unrighteousness. When I sin, I'm not glorifying God. And the truth is not being spread because of my sin. I regret that. When you sin, what are you doing? You're suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. When we choose to sin, we choose not to be the light of the world. We choose not to be the ones that go out and bless others. I was so pleased. We had 25 people from this congregation that helped at the fair this last week. I thought that was amazing. That's the most we've ever had. I worked less hours this year at the fair than I ever worked at the fair. Okay? It was awesome. Of course, the rain shut down a few of those hours, but the thought is, it was, you guys blessed people. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And when I'm sinning, I can't be blessing people. When I choose to sin, I'm choosing not to glorify God. In my family, in my relationships, in my community, in the church, you know, choose to serve God. Because when he chose not to serve God, it cost him. In fact, when we get to the next verse, it's going to show us how much it cost him. Okay? His ungodly choices, his ungodly actions cost him dearly. Let's see what happened. Look at verses 25 and 26. It says, in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, about 3,000 years ago, Solomon was on the throne. This is his son Rehoboam, so we're within a generation of that. And so, in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, the king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem. He carried off the treasures of the temple of the Lord and the treasures of the royal palace. He took everything, including the gold shields. Remember those 500 gold shields we were talking about? He took the 500 gold shields that Solomon had made. So King Rehoboam made bronze shields to replace them and assigned these to the commanders of the guards on duty at the entrance of the royal palace. Whenever the king went to the Lord's temple, the guards bore the shields and afterwards they returned them to the guard room. Okay? So King Shishak, probably we call him Shishonk in history, he came in and totally, you know, robbed everything of Israel. And anything of value, they took it. And gold shields, that's $40 million worth of gold. Yeah, they took that. So they took all that with them. Historically, we know that his Shishonk's son gave just amazing gifts to the temples of Egypt. And we believe that the gifts of gold and silver that he gave to the pagan temples of Egypt came from Israel. But did the sin of Rehoboam cost him? Does my sin cost me? I don't know how many times I've had my hands holding my head, my face, because things have happened. And if I would have been a better dad, if I would have been a better example, those things wouldn't have happened. And so it's important that we choose God. Oh, the only picture I could find, well, this is from the Arch of Titus. This is 1,000 years later, when the solid gold 75-pound candlestick of solid gold was taken by Titus in 70 AD. And that's depicted on the triumphant arch of Titus in Rome. But the ungodly choices cost you. What happens to people? What happens to a nation that choose to sin? Okay? What's it say in Proverbs 14? Sin is a reproach to any people. Hang on here. Used to have Proverbs. I do. Okay. He says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. If you live as a righteous life, does your nation do well? If you live a righteous life, does your family do well? If you live right, see what I'm saying? He chose not to, and it cost him. What's the greatest need of this nation? What's the greatest need of this nation? Jesus, we have one chapter in the Bible that is entirely a prayer of Jesus. It's John 17. Sometime after they left the upper room, before they got to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus stopped with his disciples, did some teaching, and then he stopped again and prayed this prayer. It's an amazing prayer. But in verse 9, he says something about prayer that teaches us about what America needs most. He says in John 17, verse 9, he says, "I do not pray for the world." Well, I thought, man, the world's in bad shape. It needs us praying for it, right? I mean, you got all these wicked people. We need to pray for them. Jesus says, "I do not pray for the world. I pray for these that you've taken out of the world that they might be one." See, what the world needs most is a better us. They're not going to come to Christ without us. We're going to bring them to Christ. They're going to see in us a life worth living. So he says, "I'm not praying for the world," because they're not going to be able to pick themselves up by their own brute strength and awkwardness. They can't pull themselves up by their bootstraps. They need someone to show them Christ, and that's us. So he says, "I'm praying for these that you've taken out of the world." He says, "I don't pray for the world. I pray for the ones that are following me, because what the world needs most is a better us." So he prays for us. Guess what Israel needed most? The people of God to stand up and be what we should be. If the people of God would have stood up to be what they should be, they wouldn't have gone off in that direction. So guess what America needs most? It needs a better us. If we will be the body of Christ, the nation will thrive again. The solution for this nation is not found in politics. It's found in the homes and pews of America. And it starts with mine. Now, what can we do to help the situation? He says, if what the world needs is a better us, what the world needs is a better me. I need to do a better job loving my wife. I need a better job loving my neighbors. I need a better job showing the kindness of the world, the kindness of God to the world around me. If we can do that, what happens? If I can do that, I can encourage the next man to do that and the next woman to do that. And next, see what I'm saying? What the world needs most is a better us. Well, so Rehoboam pretended then to have wealth when he didn't. Okay? I mentioned verse 27, 28. King made bronze shields to replace the gold shields. Assign these to the commanders of the guard at the duty of the entrance to the royal palace. Whenever the king went to the Lord's temple, the guards bore the shields, and afterwards they returned them to the guard room. They put them in a place, you know, where nobody can see them. They're in the guard room. They used to be displayed so all the people could see them. Now they're back in the guard room. And the guards have these bronze shields, but they've been polished to look like gold. Do you remember in Acts chapter 3 of the man that was laid at the gate beautiful? You know why it's called the gate beautiful? It was brass, and it was polished until it shone like gold. It looked like gold, but it was, yeah, if you got up close, she was like, "No, that's not gold, that's brass." But it looked like gold. He's got these shields, and they look like gold. He's got them polished up to look like gold, and he has these guards that bring it out, and they stand far enough away from the people that the people can't see that they're not gold. They look like it. They're just showing, they're trying to pretend to be something that they're not. He's trying to pretend to have wealth that he doesn't have. Boy, it's a good thing Americans never do that. Okay? Now, what's wrong with pretending to be someone you aren't? Let's go back to Proverbs again. You'll like this one. No, you won't. This one. This one hits Americans' tweeny eyes. Okay? Proverbs 13:7. He says, "One man pretends to be rich and yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor and has great wealth." When we were at Sunset, we used to have a Bible study once a week, a home study, at Billy and Bill Payne's house. Not a relative, it's a different Payne. But Bill and Billy Payne had this little three-bedroom brick house. Oh, no, he was the president of the High Plains Bank. Okay? But they had a little three-bedroom house they lived in. And he'd have us had people over there, and they'd sit around and talk with us. He wasn't showing off. He didn't have a fancy car. He didn't have a fancy house. He just used what he had for God. Okay? I know other people, and they got a lot better car than I do, and a lot bigger car payment. Okay? They got a lot better house than I do. A lot bigger house payment. Okay, you see what I'm saying? Sometimes we try to show off stuff that we aren't. We try to, oh man, look at these. You know where I got these boots? You know where I got these shoes? You know, during the week, you know where I got those pants? I got them over at a thrift store over in Washington Courthouse because they shot ours down. I mean, they got Goodwill, but it's just not as good. I'm sorry. But I'm saying, our goal is not to try to pretend to be somebody we aren't. No, it's okay to have nice stuff, but don't flaunt it. You're not here to try to look impressive. He thought he could look impressive with bronze shields that he kind of kept away from the people in the guardhouse. All right? So nobody could know. What fake blessings are we making the effort of guarding? Sometimes we guard the fact we don't want people to know that something's not real about our stuff. Look at those nice shiny shoes. Oh, no, it's just patent leather. It's not as, you know, what? Sometimes we try to pretend, and it's not just about stuff. Sometimes it's about righteousness. Oh, yes, I read my Bible every week. You know, oh, I'm doing this. Where's your heart? Are you as devoted to God as you need to be? Are you trying to pretend that you're somebody you aren't? Guys, give yourself to your wives, to your husbands. Give yourself to God. Give yourself to your neighbors, to your friends, to your children. Give yourselves. That's why we're here. Jesus gave himself. He sacrificed himself. And he told us, you love like I loved, and I sacrificed. Be real in that, in your devotion. Pour out your heart to God in prayer. No, you don't have. The Bible doesn't say about everybody coming up front and confessing all of our sins to everybody. It says confess your faults one to another one and pray one for another one. Okay? But you have a brother or sister that you can talk with and confess with and be close to so that you can be more genuine in your walk with God. This fake stuff, it's Rehoboam. It's not Jesus. Now, what are the valuable things we should be guarding? Instead of guarding the stuff, what should we be guarding? Guard your marriage. Guard your kids. There's certain things I just don't want my kids to see. You know, my grandkids. Hey, Mom, can we see this movie? PG-13. You're not 13. Not going to happen. But I mean, all my friends, yeah, your friends have seen it. You're not going to see it till you're 13. Any questions? Okay, not going to happen. Or you're not going to see it under my roof. Okay? He says, what are you guarding? Guard your children. Guard their hearts. Guard your heart. Guard the things that are of value. Guard the things that are eternal. That which is seen is temporal. That which is unseen is eternal. Guess what we're supposed to be guarding? The stuff that's eternal. That's what we want most. Okay. The lesson this morning is to honor and to protect priceless eternal treasures. Don't try to be somebody you're not. And don't lose out on the promises of God by choosing to willfully sin. That's what Rehoboam did. Okay? How well are our lives fulfilling God's purpose? Does God have a purpose for you? Are you the light of the world? Are you the salt of the earth? Are you the body of Christ, the fullness of Him who fills all in all? Are you the mystery, the Christ in you, the hope of glory? Is that who you are? That's who we're supposed to be. That's who he died for us to be. Okay, what's your eternal purpose? God has a purpose in your life. You know, I think sometimes God, my God's purpose in my life was for me to lead my children and other people towards God and let them pass me by. That's what I want. I want them to just pass me by. I can go to heaven honestly. I don't care. I want them. I want you to just be serving God with all your hearts. Now, what blessings of God do we display? What are we pleased with? I don't think it was Athanasius. It was one of the early elders in Rome. The emperor wanted him to bring the treasures of the church to the palace. And he brought in the crippled and the lame and the orphans and brought them into the palace. He said, these are the treasures of the church. Okay? The treasures of the church are the souls of our children, of our grandchildren, of our neighbors, of their children. That's the hope. That's the blessings of the church. What do we display? Okay? Hopefully, we have relationships that mean more to us than anything physical. What can we do to keep from suppressing the truth? Okay, as I mentioned before in Romans 2, he says, he defines sin as those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. How have I been suppressing the truth? See, I don't believe most of our sins are sins of commission. I believe most of our sins are sins of omission. In fact, we don't even like to talk about it. We don't even like to sing about it. We took those songs out of our book. Does anybody remember the song? When in a better land, before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls would be if any lost one there would cry in deep despair. You never mentioned him to me. Remember that song? We didn't like it. We took it out of our books. We didn't like feeling that way. Okay? We need, okay, to keep from suppressing the truth, because there are countless millions who need to hear. And one of them is going to be in my path and in your path this week. Now, what bronze shields have you been displaying? What have you kind of been showing off? Well, look at this. Well, look at that. No, that's just stuff. Show the treasures of the church are the blind and the lame, the orphaned, the widowed. Those are the treasures that we need to honor. New souls born in Christ. The joy, okay? Have you ever seen Debbie and Wanda's mom, Jenny, without a smile on her face? Well, it's been like 4 years ago we baptized her, 3 or 4 years ago we baptized her. She's 91 years old. She's the same age as Evelyn, okay? They have joy in Christ. Why? Because they're in Christ and they act like it, okay? And she displays joy in Christ. Okay, that joy in Christ, what we ought to be displaying, not this other stuff. Those aren't real. Now, what will help you to stop pretending to be what you're not? I was teaching at a youth rally one time to a couple hundred young people, and the minister there asked me. He says, Do you know of any Christians who have a daily devotional and Bible study time that ever became unfaithful to God? I said, sadly, I do. I said, but I don't know anyone who has a daily period of confessional prayer that ever became unfaithful. You talk to God. You confess your sins to God. You plead for his strength to help you become more like Christ. You do that every day and you'll stay faithful. Okay? Don't try to pretend that you're somebody you aren't. We're walking wounded. I don't wear my collar around backwards. I'm just Jack. Holy and reverend is his name, Psalm 111, verse 9. We don't qualify. Now, what priceless treasures will you truly honor? I'll give you a hint. If they're priceless, they're eternal. Are we redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold, 1 Peter 1, or with the precious blood of his dear son? Those are priceless treasures. The redemption of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Our brothers and sisters in Christ. They're priceless treasures, aren't they? I told you before, Kathy's dad was a big, tall fella. Yeah, she's the tallest of three sisters, and she fits in well with her family, okay? But anyway, she and Selena had taken Daddy out for lunch one day, and in the conversation, he let her know that we didn't even know that he was one of the little soldiers chosen to go through those tunnels over in Japan to get the people out and get the stuff out. And he says, oh, I found all kinds of stuff in there. I found cigarette lighters and found bayonets and knives and all. He said, well, and guns. And where are all? Oh, my friends want them, so I gave them my friends. Billy was rich in friends. Okay? You want to be rich in friends. Whatever you do. Okay? What priceless treasures are you honoring? Honor your friends. The closest relationship on earth, Jesus says, is friendship. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You want to have a good marriage? Make your husband, make your wife your best friend. You want to have a good relationship with your family? Make your brothers and sisters good friends. You have a good relationship in the body of Christ, make your brothers and sisters in Christ your best friends. Be friends to each other. It's friendship that gets it done. Priceless treasures, what are you honoring? Okay? Build up your brothers and sisters in Christ. Speak highly of your brothers and sisters in Christ. You don't air the dirty laundry. Okay? You air the joys and blessings we have in Christ. So, how can we help? If you've been garden bronze shields, if you've been making bronze shields that you could guard, if you've been putting your attention and your effort into things that don't last, to try to impress people that don't like you, okay, quit it. Love God. Love your wife. Love your husband. Love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Love your neighbors that are not yet your brothers and sisters in Christ, that you want to become your brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay? Honor the things that are of value. If we can help you. If you're not yet born in Christ, it's time. We've got a tank of water over here, and I'm assuming it's warm. It normally is. If you've already been baptized into Christ, need us praying with you about something, whatever that need might be, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.